He dwells quite a bit in his critical biography of Sarah Banks on her closest friend, Matilda Schwanthacker, and her eventual marriage to and subsequent love affair with Steve Grizzly Kick, the spelling of which we won't give, but there is one...
He anglicizes it.
There's one series of vowels, A-E-I-O-U, are a series of vowels in the name Grizzly Kick in the last syllable.
That's anglicized as K-I-C-K, I believe, is it not?
Yes, that's the kick part.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could give an example of how that influenced her poetry by reading from Proposal.
Proposal.
I don't have the page number for it.
We can just splice
the tape.
I don't think that'll matter. You could read from anything.
I'll make this up as we go along. Proposal. The hired man to the maiden spoke, "Oh, marry me tomorrow. We'll fill the heater up with coke, kettle, beans, and bacon borrow. Make a table, build a bed. Who's so happy when we're wed? Happy, happy while we can." To the maid, the hired man. "Oh, not so fast," the maid replied. "In this I am immutable. I fear your love would weaken, though your ardor's indisputable. Love may wane and love may wax. Mine can only thrive on facts."
That's not
"Work
bad.
A year and we shall see," cried the maiden modestly.
The embodiment of Saskatchewan's practical outlook.
Yes. None of this romantic nonsense. She lives only on facts. And this is long before faxes were invented.
Before they were spelled with an X.
That's right.
And there was more influence yet from Matilda Schwanthacker. Matilda Schwanthacker imbued Sarah with a love for foreign poetry.
Foreign poetry in foreign language
and the ability to accurately reflect it in the English language.
She certainly reflects it accurately or precisely.
Yeah.
Her translations are
word for word.
They are indeed, and every word in the same place. What she has a little trouble with is German syntax, bending German syntax to English. Yes.
It wreaks havoc with her rhymes, too, because usually she rhymes every line is rhymed with the following line, couplets, remorseless couplets. Here, she has to go every other line. That's what happens in this Du bist wie eine Blume. "Du bist wie eine Blume. You are like one flower so swell, so good and clean. I look you on, and longing slinks me the heart between. Me is as if the hand's eye on head yours put them should, praying that God you preserve so swell, so clean and good."
Actually, that's not bad. She does get a rhyme in, which is more than I could do when I was an undergraduate at the U of Winnipeg studying German and translated things. It was really about on par, actually worse by far.
Yeah. Well, it certainly would have had an effect on her emerging style. There's in Hebert's critical analysis or biography, he talks about her tracing of the path of love between her two closest friends, Matilda Schwanthacker and Steve Grizzly Kick. And I quote from his book, "If the path of true love failed to run smoothly, all the easier for her meter." And I think that is really exemplified by the invitation to the dance, and perhaps
one can argue that in fact the regularity of her meter was an attempt to sort of resolve all the problems in her life, the ups and downs, the irregularities, all the hardships and heartaches that she evidently experienced.
Invitation to the dance. "Come, tread me the measure. I give you the pleasure. The one step, the two step, or three, the polka so tender, you'll always remember with joy if you tread it with me. You'll be glad that we met to the clarionet. We will swing and we'll twist on the floor. With a bound we will mount to the middle and count. One, two, three, one, two, three, four." I've never heard of a polka called tender before. Let's dance a tender polka. I mean, you'd bring the people out at that Manhattan ballroom down in droves if we had tender polkas.
And treading seems somehow, well, maybe that is the way she danced. But
that's certainly probably how they taught it in Willow.
may well be. She seems to have this uncanny ability of being able to end her poems on a note that captures perfectly the banality of her existence. I think that's partly where her genius lies.
That's right. And you see, the other thing that happens in here, too, is that some people are imprisoned, you know, are imprisoned by rhyme. She is often imprisoned by rhyme. The only reason for calling a polka tender is that she's stuck into a rhyme with remember, and she can't think of any other part from probably dismember, and that wouldn't fit unless...
Depending on what kind of treading was going on.
What kind of polka she's dancing.
Get some kind of an idea from up from the magma with the crocodiles and the pterodactyls.
That's right. Yeah. But she's also stuck in a ruthless rhythm. So when she has in the second stanza, "You'll be glad that we met to the clarionet." There's no such thing as a clarionet, but she's got to get that extra
just
beat
to create
in there.
One, yes.
Yeah. Because she can't modify her rhyme. She can't create a syncopation. She's just.
But still, there is a real innovative quality there that I think fairness, you know, would dictate we have to pay some homage to. She invents a word.
And a polyrhythm for the polka as well.